with you. I was here last week, but we had such a wonderful opportunity last Sunday with our guest, Paul Pitts, and I'm thankful for not just his performance. It wasn't really a performance. We're thankful for his ministry and for his heart and his willingness to come all the way to Central Iowa from Florida. I can only imagine, so we're thankful. But it is good to be back together. It's good to be with you, and I'm going to continue this morning looking back at Malachi. I've not been preaching for a couple of weeks, but I left us in Malachi, and I'd like to start again in Malachi. And this morning's message is entitled, A Word to the Weary. A Word to the Weary. And I feel like last night, my mind and my body really wanted me to be prepared for this sermon, A Word to the Weary. And so I didn't sleep very well last night. And so I'm a little tired this morning. And then as I was sitting this morning after I woke up, I was just seated, and I just quickly turned and looked down towards the floor, and I pulled this muscle back here, and I wish it was something heroic that I did, but I simply just turned my neck and tweaked this muscle. And so I told someone this morning that I feel like I'm 37 going on 77 in some ways, but it's all good because it's all preparation for this word this morning. So are you weary today? Are you tired? Are you feeling mentally or physically exhausted? I know that we've all felt weary at one time or another, and I can't help but guess that many of us are feeling weary right now. Right? We're in this heavy season of pandemic and politics and some uncertainty. And all of those challenges and all of those things come against us, and if we allow it, they begin to wear us down. So if you're feeling weary today, I've got good news. You're probably not alone. So what can we do with that weariness? Is there any hope? And as much as I love coffee, this kind of weariness is going to require more than just a great cup of coffee or three. It's going to require something outside of us, something that is much stronger than us, something that can strengthen and refresh in us. And so I want us to start today by looking at this word weary. This word weary is found 29 different times in Scripture, at least in the NIV version, 29 different times. And one of the most famous, well-known verses is probably Galatians 6:9 that says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Many of you have probably heard that verse, and that is a wonderful, encouraging word, but also a great reminder. Not only to keep going, but at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that may be a challenge for us at the proper time, not when I think we should or when you think we should, but at the proper time. And the proper time, my friends, belongs to the Lord. It's His timing. Our responsibility is to not become weary in doing good, not to give up. So if you're feeling weary today, I want all of us to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through His Word. My prayer has been that the Holy Spirit might reveal the source of our weariness. So we need to allow His Word to transform us. We're going to see this morning together, we're going to see that even God became weary. It's a little bit hard to believe, but even God became weary, but it's probably not what you're thinking. And so I invite you to turn to Malachi chapter 2, the very last verse, and we'll read through Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. And as you make your way, I just want to pause for a short prayer before we hear the reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this invitation to hear Your Word. Lord, how desperately we need Your Word. We need it, each one of us in our lives, but we also recognize how much our communities and this nation and this world, how much we need your word. So, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes and our ears to see and to hear and to receive whatever you would want to say to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words." How have we wearied him, you ask? "By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice?" Chapter 3 says, "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." So God became weary, but not in the way that we are often weary. In Malachi, we just heard that these words, "You have wearied the Lord with your words." The Lord grew tired of hearing their complaining and questioning. And this seems a little strange for us to consider. It sounds like a contradiction of the very nature of God, for we know that God is loving and patient and kind. In other places in Scripture, especially in Isaiah, we hear the opposite of weary. And now we're back in order, Kevin. Thank you. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Not only that, but the very next verse, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." But here, even here in Isaiah, we see that no one can fathom his understanding. God is so great that we can't possibly understand all of who he is. So what does it mean here that God became weary? See, I don't think the problem was with all the questions, because we have this freedom. God welcomes our questions. He's not withholding or hiding anything from us. So I don't think the problem was with the questions, but I think the problem was with the attitude behind the questions. Some of you who are parents are probably familiar with this kind of weariness. Some of a parent's most frequently uttered words are, "How many times do I have to tell you?" If you've ever had a teenager, I dare say you've probably said something along those lines. "How many times do I have to tell you?" And maybe, I don't know, maybe you say that to your spouse. "How many times do I have to tell you?" Somebody is. "How many times do I have to tell you?" God was weary because of their unbelief. You see, the people just didn't quite understand. They couldn't see the full picture. They had things all backwards. Right, we just read, they were saying, "All who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord." That was their perception as they saw everything happening in the world. They perceived that all who do evil must be good in the eyes of the Lord, because I don't see God interacting and moving. Or they say, where is the God of justice? So God's people saw evil taking place and they felt like God was ignoring it all. They saw everything happening all around them, yet they could not see what was happening in themselves. They saw the sin in the world, but not the sin within. And that is a problem. That's the problem that they were facing, and it's also the problem that we face. So God says he's become weary of their talking. He's tired of his people missing the importance of actually living a holy life. They seem to do just fine with all the talking, but where was their understanding? Where was their response? So how does God respond to the situation? God says, I will send my messenger. And this is where I think the NIV misses it, because the New Living Translation and even the NRSV says, look, I am sending, or see, I am sending. Yes, God will send his messenger, but we need to look and see. If we don't look and see, we will miss him. So let's not forget our role in all of this. We must look to the Lord, not just once, but continually. As Pastor Al reminded us at prayer, a moment by moment, looking to the Lord. So God says here in Malachi, I will send my messenger, and that messenger will prepare the way. Then the Lord will come to the temple. Now, today, we know that the Lord has been faithful. The messenger has already come, and the Lord Jesus has come. But I don't want us to miss the language here in Malachi, right? This is one of the reasons why we don't ignore the Old Testament, and this is one of the reasons why we don't ignore what we call the minor prophets, because they're so powerful and so rich. So I don't want us to miss the language. It says, the messenger will prepare the way. And then the Lord you are seeking will come. The Lord whom you desire will come. I think this is an important pattern. A messenger prepares the way. The people seek and desire the Lord, and then the Lord comes. Now, as we said, we know this has been fulfilled through John the Baptist, and we know that he prepared the way, and then Jesus came. Right? Jesus was the one whom they were seeking, even all the way back in Malachi. Jesus is the one. He's the one whom they desired. But what happened when he came? So many people missed him. They didn't know him. They failed to recognize him. Jesus, the very Son of God, the Messiah, in their midst, and they missed him. So I can't help but think this is an important word for us today. Are we even seeking the Lord anymore? Do we have a desire for the Lord to come? And do we understand that Jesus is coming back again? If so, then where is our faithfulness? Where is our love? Where is our desire for Jesus? So in our text from Malachi, it continues, it says, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. And I was going to talk about a launderer's soap, but I knew my wife would just stop listening because I don't know anything about a launderer's soap. I don't even know how to do laundry, according to my wife. But these are rich images. A refining fire, a launderer's soap that was used to remove any stain or grease so that a garment could be stained, dyed, colored. He will purify the Levites. He will refine them like gold and silver. Then right? After that refining and purification, then they will be able to bring their offerings in righteousness. Listen, we need purification. There is no one here and there is no one listening online right now who has been able to live this life cleanly. Right? We know that verse in Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short. We need purification. We need the Lord to do a deep cleansing in our heart and in our lives. And Jesus is the only one who can do it. He is the one that purifies and cleanses us. So the word says, I will come to put you on trial. This is intense. I understand this is a heavy word. So I will come and put you on trial. God, speaking to his people through Malachi, says, I am coming. Jesus is coming to bring judgment, to put his people on trial. He will testify against, and there's this list, the sorcerers, adulterers, the perjurers, of the liars, against those who rob employees of their wages, against those who oppress the widow and the fatherless, and against those who deprive foreigners among you of justice. These evil practices are often singled out for criticism by the prophets. Mistreating those on the margins of society is never acceptable for God's people. Right? The poor, the orphans, the widows, the foreigner. But neither is engaging in sexual immorality or idol worship. Have you caught on? Have you seen here in Malachi that this is more than just personal sin? God is calling out those who participate in systemic evil and injustice. In Malachi 2:17, our very first verse, we heard the arrogance of the people who asked, where is the God of justice? They felt like God was not punishing the wicked for their sin. And friends, if we're not careful, we probably have the same mindset today as we look around in society and across our cities and around the nation. We might have the same heartbeat that the Israelites had in Malachi, like, God, why are you not punishing the wicked? But God's response here in verse 5 is basically, be careful what you wish for. You see, they had asked God to deal with sin in the world, but they had forgotten about their own sin. If God's going to deal with sin in the world, he's going to start with us. He starts with his church, his own people. The word says judgment begins at the house of the Lord. So how have we sinned against the Lord? Right? I understand what's going on in the world. Why would we expect anything different? Like, sinners are going to sin, but today God's asking about us, those of us who are Christ followers. How have we sinned against the Lord? How have we participated in systems that marginalize the weak or the poor? In Malachi, we discover that systemic evil wearies God. He's just tired of it. So how can we respond faithfully to this word in Malachi? I think our first response is to not resist the Lord. Don't resist the Lord. The pattern of the Israelites here in Malachi is a pattern of resistance. They resisted being the people of God. They resisted taking the responsibility. And they even resisted repentance. But if we resist repentance, we're resisting God's way for us. So the announcement was, God is sending a messenger to prepare the way. The Lord was coming to refine and purify, but also to prepare. Sometimes we focus on what we feel is going to hurt us. Like, we're convicted of sin and we, we maybe become self-conscious of it and we begin to focus on ourselves and we don't understand that God is wanting to prepare us. God wants to come for a pure and a spotless bride. So through this refining and purification would come a people who were prepared. Malachi, we see it, a people who will be able to stand, able to endure God's judgment, people who could bring their offerings in righteousness, a people who are set free. So I think this is a word to the weary this morning. Are you tired today? If you've been tired these days, I understand physical tiredness, but this is deeper. If you've been feeling weary, then how have you been living these days? I know the weight of everything that's going on in our world, right? None of us are immune to this time. We're all experiencing this together. But how have you been living during these days? Where has your focus been? Have you been overcome by the world? Are you living in sin? Here's something powerful from Malachi. If sin wearies God, I can guarantee you that living in sin will weary you. So have you been living in sin? But as we hear these words from Malachi this morning, we cannot forget how God first spoke. And you'll have to think back with me if you were here several weeks ago, the very first chapter, Malachi chapter 1. We heard the very heart of God. Do you remember what God said? At the very beginning, God said, "I have loved you." So today there is no longer any condemnation for those who are found in Christ Jesus. But as God's people, we cannot ignore what makes God weary. So again, we need the Lord to open our eyes. We need to be willing to respond to His Holy Spirit. We need to remember His wonderful prevenient grace, the reality that Jesus comes to us. And we sang that this morning, that Jesus comes to us even before we recognize His presence. So let's not grow weary. This is not one-sided. We're not alone in this today. Listen, we should be a people who are so thankful. We should be overflowing with affection for the Lord. But it can't stop there. If we truly understand God's heart for the world, then our affection, we'll overflow with affection for the Lord, but we'll have affection for one another. We'll have a desire to reach the downcast, the brokenhearted, those on the margins. So we need to find a balance today. You see, God's people here in Malachi were focused on the sin of others, but blind to their own sin. But we also can't just focus on ourselves, forgetting about others. So we need balance. Without the proper balance, I believe we'll become weary. So maybe today, if you're feeling weary, you're just out of balance. Maybe you're just not walking the path that God has laid out for you. And this is where Jesus, I think, has such a good word for us. It's almost as if, imagine this, it's almost as if Jesus knew exactly what we would need. That's why He told us what's important. He told us how to find that balance, how to live in such a way that we're no longer weary. And He says these words, you have to listen, He says these words to us in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." But that was just the first part. The second part, love your neighbor as yourself. And you guys, many of you have heard that, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, friends, it's kind of hard to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. And it's hard to love yourself if you don't love God. And it's hard to love God if you don't understand how much he loves you. And thankfully, God first loved us. And even here in Malachi, in the midst of these strong words, there is love. God said, I have loved you. So if you are weary, then where is your focus? Where is your focus? So let's not forget this language here in Malachi. It says that the messenger will prepare the way, and then the Lord you are seeking will come. The Lord whom you desire will come. Friends, I think that is still true today. Right? Today, you and I are now his messengers, called to prepare the way for others to find Jesus. And we don't do this somehow to earn God's love, and we don't operate trying to earn his love. Instead, we operate from his love. You want others to find Jesus, to be set free, then prepare the way. How do we prepare the way? We prepare the way through prayer, through purification, and through perseverance. Right? God is looking for a people who will continually seek after him, who have a desire for Jesus, a people who are willing to humble themselves, to seek the Lord, his kingdom, his righteousness. But he's also looking for a holy people who will be set apart, filled with his Holy Spirit, a people who he can live and dwell within, but also a people that he can send out, that he can entrust this wonderful good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is entrusting us with this good news. And I know as we're seeking the Lord and as we're going out trying to prepare the way for others to encounter the living God, I know that from time to time we'll become weary. It's a reality. But that's where we have his word once again to go back to remind us that there is an answer for the weariness, and the answer is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can set us free, even from our weariness. So through prayer, we listen to him. We listen to his word. We listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We keep going to Jesus, learning from him, resting in him. And then we go out and share him. Every moment of every day. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I want us to spend a moment in prayer before our closing song, and perhaps you've found yourself in recent days feeling like you wanted to give up. Feeling like everything you're facing is just overwhelming, it's too much. I just happen to believe that God is faithful today, and I just happen to believe that God is powerful enough to hear our cry, to know our hearts, and to answer our prayers. And so we're going to pray a pretty simple prayer together. We're going to ask the Lord to help us overcome our weariness, to strengthen us for every moment that we're going to face from this moment on. His promise is that he'll be with us, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And if we'll just grab a hold of that truth, that reality, I can't help but think that might change our perspective. Even in the midst of being tired and weary, if we know that God is with us, that no one can come against us, what that might do for us today. So I invite the worship team to come, and I'll invite all of us, if you would, to let's stand together as we go to the Lord in prayer. If you would you stand with me? Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Lord, I'm thankful this morning that you put up with us. We're reminded, if we're parents, we're reminded of how much we love our own children, and from time to time they just frustrate us. And I know, Lord, we probably frustrate you from time to time. But we're thankful for your loving kindness, for your patience today with us. Give us the right perspective. Yes, Lord, we know that there is sin in the world, but Lord, let us not miss any sin that might be within. This is the moment when we can respond to your word and the truth that you, Jesus, you're the one that can purify our hearts. You're the one that can cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. So Father, we repent of any sin that might be in our lives, any stain, Lord. Lord, you're so faithful to reveal that to us. And we already know, Lord, right now what it is. So give us, Lord, the encouragement, the strength to repent of that sin right now. Instead, Lord, we choose to receive your rest today. We choose to operate not in our own strength, but by your strength through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we leave this place, as you send us out, Lord. We're so thankful that you're already at work. You're already at work in those situations. You're already working on that other person that we might have an opportunity to interact with. So help us to be faithful, Lord. Faithful to go out, to love others in the name of Jesus. And help us, Lord, not to miss. Help us not to miss you. You're here with us. Help us not to miss you, Lord. But to live in communion with you every moment of every day. We ask and we pray together in Jesus' name. In his name we pray. We invite you to join us with our closing song, Refiner's Fire.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live here.